Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just as we excel in something, help us today to desire to excel in the grace of giving that Paul was talking about. We pray that in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated, dear ones. What do you excel at? What's something that you're really good at, that you really enjoy doing? Something that God has given you and you just really treasure it, and every time you use it, you are grateful to God. And sometimes you're even able to use it in God's church for God's glory. What is that in you? What do you excel at? There were a couple of things that came to my mind when I asked myself that question this past weekend. One of the things that I excel at that I really enjoy doing is writing. I think this came from my grade school experience, where I had one teacher for penmanship and for composition that would always read whatever I had written and gave it back to me saying, write it again. Write it different. Write it better this time. And I give that guy a lot of credit, because it's the case that now I enjoy writing to the extent that my daughter, who is at the University of Arizona, always wants me to write her papers for her. And I always have to tell her, no, honey, that's something you have to do yourself. That's why you're in college. But there's all kinds of things in the world that we can excel in. Paul talks about one thing that you usually don't think about. He talks about today the grace of giving, excelling at giving. And the reason that Paul was talking about that was because he was talking to a church in a place called Corinth, which is in Greece, about an offering that he was taking up for the churches of Jerusalem. Now, in Paul's day, the churches of Jerusalem were in a terrible situation. They were poverty-stricken. The economy was terrible in Jerusalem. And they were just about starting to be persecuted as Christians. And so everywhere that Paul was going in the Mediterranean world, as he was going on his mission trips, he was taking up a collection at every church and sending the money back to Jerusalem. So he's talking to these churches in Corinth. He's writing to them saying, I want you to take up a collection for the churches in Jerusalem, but I want you to know that there's a church that is really doing an outstanding job of giving. And these are the churches in a place called Macedonia, which is in northern Greece. Paul points to that church in Macedonia as the place where they are giving far better than anyone else. And here's the odd thing. They were the poorest of the poor. They were the church that was in the least position to be able to give generously and to have the gift of giving, and yet they were giving in a way that was absolutely astounding. The reason why they were giving that way was because they were rich in grace. They weren't rich in money. In fact, Paul said they begged us to be a part of this offering, even though we could have told them, you don't have to be a part of this because you're already poverty-stricken. They begged Paul to be a part of the offering, and they gave more than they were able. Why? Because they were rich in grace. The Holy Spirit was so fully upon them. The message of Jesus was so fully in them that they could not help but give to the churches in Jerusalem in a way that was just amazing. Now, this is something that they decided to do. And this is the first thing that we need to do if we want to help people. If we want to excel in the grace of giving, we need to decide to do so. There's only one reason why we can do that, and that is because of the living presence of Jesus within us. Only because of the Holy Spirit within us can we decide to become more generous than we are right now. I'm looking forward so much later to the end of this service, not only for the pizza that's going to happen at the end of the service, but also for the conversation and the questions and the the envisioning of our future that we're going to be doing here at our Redeemer. It's going to be just an amazing thing to talk about what God is doing through us. And it's something that each one of us, I hope 100% of us, are going to decide to come and are going to decide to become generous as we someday, very soon now, make a commitment of who we are and what we have to the future that God has in this place. Listen to what Paul said. Each one of you, not some of you, not a couple of you, not 20% of you, each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God loves a person who cheerfully gives because he or she wants to be a part of what God is doing in his world. He or she wants to be engaged in the things that God is accomplishing in this community. And so when we give and excel at it, when we give generously, when we give sacrificially, when we give as people who are excited about what God is doing, then God sees cheerful givers. That's going to be pretty tough, I think. Especially where we are with our world today. We're less than a month away from an election that is as odd an election as I have ever seen in my years, and probably in your years as well. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen to our economy after the election, when there's already word about election fraud being watched out for in this morning's online news? Who knows what the future holds? It's a very unsettled time for us as people. And when we're in unsettled times, people generally tend to hold back on giving and on spending and on planning to be generous, because you don't know. You can't tell what's going to occur. That's why we need a power that is greater than ourselves, a power that is greater than our own minds and our own ideas and our own thoughts, to propel us forward in this Immeasurably More campaign. It's a little bit like the story of the dad and his two kids who were hiking in the mountains. And the dad was walking along, and the two kids were walking in front of him. And when they came to the side of the lake along the path, the kids took flat stones and they skipped those stones across the water to impress their dad. And the stones went zip, 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 zip. And dad said, "Wow, look at that. That's cool." And later on, when they were on the trail, they came across a branch that was fallen in the trail, and both the boy and the girl took a hold of that branch, and they broke that branch over their knee to impress their dad, and their dad said, "Wow, that was wonderful." Then a little bit later on, they came to a rock that was half sunken into the path, and the boy and the girl looked at each other, and they said, "Hey, let's pick this rock up to impress dad." So they got down, and they bent down, and they grabbed a hold of the rock, and they pulled, but that rock was too high, sunken into the path. It wasn't going anywhere, and so they kept on walking. And their dad said, "Kids, did you use all your strength?" So now they heard the challenge in dad's voice, and they went back to that rock, and they got down there, and they pulled with all of their might, but that rock was just heavy, and it was sunken into the earth, and it wasn't going anywhere. And with a little cry of disgust, they kept on walking, and the dad said, "Kids, did you use all your strength?" So now they came back to that rock, and they were going to pick that rock up no matter what. So they bent down, and their little arms were quivering, and their hands were shaking, and beads of sweat were dropping off of their faces, but that rock wasn't going anywhere. And with a little cry of disgust, they started stomping away. And dad said, "Kids, did you use all your strength?" And they said, "Yeah, we did." And Dad said, no, you didn't, because I'm standing right here. And you never once asked me to help you. And then he said, come on, kids, let's pick us up a rock. And together, they got down, picked up that rock, held it high, and started laughing. And that's God. That's God. When it seems too dangerous for this to be a time to be generous, when it seems too tough of an economy where we should be able to make a commitment to a capital campaign, when it seems to be too much to ask and too hard to accomplish, God comes and with us picks up that rock and provides us all of the courage that we need, the gumption that we need, the inspiration that we need. God has always done thus, has he not, dear ones? Because when we could not pay for our own sin, he himself paid the price. He himself picked up that rock and then rolled it away from the door of the tomb, freeing our Savior who had died for our sin so that we could be sitting here with a destiny called immeasurably more. So that we could be sitting here with a destiny of wanting to reach our neighbors and our friends with the good news of the gospel. So let's decide. First, let's decide. We want to excel at this thing called giving. And then let's put that into practice, because that's the next step. To do something well, you have to practice it. I don't care what it is. If you want to play piano well, you got to practice. You want to shoot hoops, you practice. You want to apply makeup, I think you got to practice at that too. Everything that you're good at takes practice. And so it is with the grace of giving as well. It takes practice. We have to start to do it in order for us to become excellent at it. And for some of us, it might start out at one more percentage point than we're giving now. Others of us can do more than one percentage point. Some of us are not giving anything at all right now because of the horrid financial situation that you might find yourself in. What if you went out on a limb and trusted God and started to give in spite of the fact that you're struggling? Might not God honor that? Might not God see that and decide to bless you in a way that you never saw coming? It takes practice. Paul said this, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. Not the God of conflict, not the God of struggle, not the God of hardship, but the God of peace will be with you. It reminds me of the very true story about the piano player whose name was Paderewski. I like Paderewski because he's Polish. I'm Polish. And he was a piano player who other piano teachers used to love to take their students to see in concert because he was so inspiring, and the piano teachers would hope that their kids would probably end up practicing. So one day this woman who taught piano brought her whole class, and they filled up a whole row in the auditorium, and she sat her special little guy, the guy who needed a lot of care and attention, right next to her, so that he couldn't get into any mischief. So she's talking to her friend over on this side, and there's a buzz of conversation in the air, and the hall is filling up with concert goers. And all of a sudden, wafting through the air, came the unmistakable sound of the song, Chopsticks. And she looks down, and he's gone. And she looks up, and he's there on the maestro's piano on the stage playing Chopsticks. And right before she can have her heart attack, out onto the stage strides the great composer himself, Paderewski, who comes up behind the kid on the piano bench and whispers in his ear, "Don't stop playing." And he reaches over with his right hand, left hand, and he starts to play this running bass line to the song Chopsticks. He reaches over with his right hand and starts playing a cool counter melody to the song Chopsticks. By the time Chopsticks was over, it got the biggest applause of the night. That kid probably went home and practiced, for crying out loud. That's God with us. God is enabling us to be a part of what he's doing in this world. And we get to practice with God being the one who is actually the power behind the whole thing. We get to be participants in what God is doing in this world. So how do we excel at the grace of giving? Through desire, through practice, and through trusting God. Trusting God. My prayer is that every single one of us, some weeks from now, is going to make a commitment to our Immeasurably More campaign. We're after 100% of the members of our Redeemer, because we believe that this is this important for our future and for the future of the church here in this neighborhood and in this city. Now the question almost always becomes, how can I give more than I'm already giving? Because we're talking about giving over and above what we're giving right now. And the question is, how can I possibly do that? Well, here's what the Lord says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Not only will we be able to be generous, God will be praised and glorified, and more people will come to know him because of our generosity, our being excellent at the grace of giving. But we say no. So very often we look at the sacrifice that our Savior made and say, "Thank you for that, but still, I can't trust you that much." So often we look at the incredible riches that we have as Americans, and aren't satisfied. And we look at God and we say, "I'm just not ready. All I need to be happy, all I need to be secure, all I need to be fulfilled is just a little bit more." That's when trusting God becomes difficult. Trusting God reminds me of my crazy uncle who is a Lutheran pastor, and he is kind of a little crazy, I got to admit it. My Uncle Frank. We were always visiting them when they lived in Nebraska. We lived in Michigan, and they lived in Nebraska, and we went always on vacation to Nebraska because they had horses, and that was our rationale. I'll always remember the day when I was in the backyard and they were discussing my cousin Chip's cast. Remember the big old plaster casts that you'd get on your arm when you broke your arm? My cousin Chip, who was about my age, had broken his arm a couple of months before, and they were talking about going down to the doctor's office to get that cast taken off that Monday. And my Uncle Frank got it into his idea that he was going to save himself the cost of a doctor's visit and cut that cast off himself. So he went to the garage, and he came back out swinging the hacksaw between two fingers. And my cousin Chip thinks this is the worst idea he's ever heard. But my Uncle Frank had him hold that his cast out like this, and my Uncle Frank took a bead on that cast, and he started to saw. And he was sawing his heart out. I mean, his hair was flapping back and forth. Plaster dust is wafting through the air. My little brother and I are watching, fascinated, with wide-eyed wonder, saying, "Uncle Frank is cutting Chip's arm off. This is so cool." And just when he was about to be through with the cast, my cousin lost his nerve, and he yanked his arm back, and he said, "Stop it!" And I'll never forget what my uncle said. He just put the saw down, looked at his son, and he said, "Hey, remember me?" My cousin put his arm back out, a couple of quick hacks, and that saw went through that plaster, no problem, no hurt, no foul, nothing to worry about. That's God. When we say no, when we pull away, when we doubt, and when we say no, his words to us are, "Remember me, the one who has made you, the one who has redeemed you, the one who has called you by name, the one who has saved you, the one who has got a destiny for you of eternity with me." That's the God to whom we want to be excellent in giving. Shall we pray? For the sake of that one who is now reigning and ruling over us, O Lord, for the sake of the ones who are still in bed right now or reading the funnies or on Facebook or having breakfast, having no intention of glorifying you with their presence today, for our sake, as we are people who need to be involved in what you're doing, help us to excel in the grace of giving. In Jesus we pray it. Amen.